You're listening to eDirects.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صدق الله العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, bifazlillah, very important subjects are being discussed. And so inshallah ta'ala, what I request is 100% attention, inshallah ta'ala. If we want our salah to become a perfect salah, quality salah, then what is important is that we understand what we are reading in our salah. Insha'Allah ta'ala, that will assist us, that will help us in maintaining a good level of khushu', concentration, devotion in salah. And so when a person begins his salah, when he says Allahu Akbar, thereafter he reads Suratul Fatiha. And the first word of Suratul Fatiha is Alhamdu. Alhamdu. Alhamdu Lillah. This is how the kalam, the glorious speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with Alhamdu Lillah. The word Hamd in the Arabic language has two meanings. It means praise and it also means gratitude. That you are praising someone and at the same time you are also thanking someone. Although in the Arabic language you have two other words that mean praise and thank. So if you want to praise someone in Arabic, you can even use the word madah or madaha. And if you want to thank someone, you can say shukr. But when you say alhamdu, which in the English language has two different meanings, but both meanings are incorporated into that one word of the Arabic language, which is alhamdu. So alhamdu actually means that the ultimate praise and the ultimate gratitude belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you say alhamdu, you are praising Allah and you are also thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand that. You are praising Allah and you are also thanking Allah. Why? Because if you praise someone, it doesn't mean that you are thanking him. And if you thank someone or show gratitude to someone, to be grateful to someone, does not mean that you are praising him. So for an example, if you say that this house is beautiful, you are praising the house, but you're not thanking the house. You don't say thank you to the house, do you? You say it's a beautiful house, it's a beautiful car. You are praising an item, but you're not thanking it. And sometimes what happens that You can thank someone, but you're not praising it. So for an example, in Islam, we have to be grateful to our parents. We have to be grateful to our parents. We have to thank our parents. So if we look into the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, we see that Ibrahim alayhi salam was the Nabi of Allah, and the father Azar was a mushrik. He was a mushrik. But when we look into the Quran, we see that Ibrahim alayhi salam would thank and was grateful to his father because he was the father. And so we see words like Ya Abati, that is a form of respect to call upon your father. So we see that Ibrahim alayhi salam was being grateful to his father, but he did not praise his father. But he did not praise his father. But the word Alhamdu is so unique, that one word, Hamd, that it means that you are praising Allah, and with praise at the same time, you are also thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are also doing shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, why the selection of certain words? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with the word Alhamdu? Very unique. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to discipline the minds of the people of Iman. Allah wants to discipline the aql, the minds of the people of Iman. Now you will find that Muslims are very different in their thinking, of course, in comparison to other religious denominations. So for an example, how many times do you hear from religious people saying that if God is great, then why so much famine? Why so much poverty? Why so much wars that you see around the world? Why so much sickness? A lot of people say that. Why so much? Why is that person disabled? Why that calamity? If God is great, then why that? Why that? Why that? Why that? A lot of people air their opinion, and aliyazu billah, fall in the realm of kufr when they speak in that tone. But when a person says Alhamdu, what it means is whether he understands something or whether he does not understand something, at all times he is praising Allah and he is thanking Allah. So there's no corruption in the mind. Whatever happens to him, anything that good comes to him, any difficulty that comes to him, whatever happens, Allah has taught him that all you have to say is Alhamdulillah. You are not a man of shikwa, shikayat, someone who complains all the time. Why this? No. Not with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he says Alhamdu, it means he is praising Allah and he is doing shukr of Allah of all the things that are happening to him in his life. Whatever is happening, it is Alhamdulillah at all times. Not like others who say, why so much poverty? Why so much famine? Why this? Why that? So the mindset of a believer is very different when he says, Alhamdulillah. Understand that, my respected brothers and elders. Subhanallah, we don't understand the bigger picture which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands. So for an example, if a mother gives medicine to a young child, you'll see that the child will make life difficult for the mother, running away, screaming, fighting with the mother, pushing the mother's hands. Hey, we don't want to drink this medicine. It's bitter, it doesn't taste good. We want strawberry flavor, we want that flavor, we want this flavor. We don't want it. And it's a mission for the mother to give medicine to the child. But when the child grows up, and when he looks into the past, that how well my mother has served me, that she was giving me everything that I needed, what will he do? He will only thank the mother. What will he do?
Thank.
Only thank the mother. And so whatever is happening in this world, because spiritually we are immature, what are we? Spiritually we are immature, like that child. We don't understand anything. We don't understand. But only when a person is given that nur of understanding, that when he understands, he will only want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whatever is happening, it is all alhamdulillah. It is all alhamdulillah. You see, my respected brothers and elders, there are two worlds that are working. There are two worlds that are working. One is the world that you can see, and one is the world that you can't see, the unseen world. One is Alamul Ghaib and one is Alamul Shahada. What is it? Alamul Shahada means something that you can see. And when you can see something, that is how insan's fitrat is, nature is, that he will want to mold himself to something that he can see. But what he does not realize, that there is something behind him, a hidden picture, there is something else which he can't see, but that is Alame Ghaib, the unseen world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dealing with that person with both of these worlds. With both of these worlds. So Allah knows best. Allah knows best. That is why when the angel said, Ya Allah, why do you create insan? What is the purpose of creating insan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. It's one answer. What I know, you don't know. What I know, you don't know. And so when we say alhamdu, subhanallah, what a beautiful kalima this is. That you are thanking, you are praising Allah, and you are saying that we will never ever do shikayat. As believers, we can never complain. Never, we will never do shikayat. And another very important understanding we should take from this is a hadith which is in Mishkatul Masabih. In the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that there are 99 names for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anyone who memorizes the Asma'ul Husna, Man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. The one who memorizes them, they will enter Jannah. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir, Al-Khalik, Al-Bari, Al-Musawwir, Ghaffar, Kahar, Wahab, Razak, Fattah, Alim, Qabiz, Basit, Khafiz, Rafi, Mu'iz, Muzil. And you continue. An easy ticket to Jannah. A person who can't become Hafiz of the Quran should memorize the names of Allah, the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. Even if a person memorizes just one name of Allah per day, just one name of Allah per day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him jannah. Subhanallah. And it's easy today. Our youngsters want to memorize everything. Why not the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if you look at how Allah begins His glorious speech, this unique word, Alhamd. you will never find the word Alhamd to be muzaf, to be connected to any of the other attributive names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word Hamd is only attached with Allah. So you won't find Alhamdu lil Rahman. You don't find Alhamdu lil Hakim. You don't find Alhamdu lil Quddus. Alhamdu lil Malik. You don't find that. You always find the word Hamd with the name Allah. There is no Alhamdu lil Hakim, which would mean otherwise, that all praises belong to the one who is the most wise. All praises belong to the one who is the most wise. If it was Alhamdu lil Rahman, it would mean that all praises belong to the one who is the most merciful. In this case, what it would mean is that you are locking the word praise with only one attributive name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only one. So you are saying all praises belong only to the one who is the most wise, the one who is the most merciful. Only to one name, if it was Alhamdulil Rahman or Alhamdulil Hakim. But when you say Alhamdulillah, by taking the name of Allah, you are attaching the praise to all of the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is Rahman, Allah is Rahim, Allah is Kareem, Allah is Quddus. Do you understand the wisdom, my respected brothers? So when you say Alhamdulillah, the ultimate praise and the ultimate gratitude, thanks, belongs to Allah, it also includes the Asma'ul Husna. It also includes the Asma'ul Husna. How powerful is this one word? Imagine, when we were in the madrasa, it took us 7 months just to do the tafsir of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. How many months? At the end, Shaykh Abdul Rahim, who is the master of the Arabic grammar, he said, you know what, we have to now stop here and start Surah Fatiha, otherwise we won't be doing nothing. 7 months, Surah Basmala, just Bismillah. What is, we've not even started Bismillah. Just one word. Three sessions, four sessions taken, one word, Alhamdu, what it means. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And imagine how the word Alhamdu starts. Remember I said that the Arabic language is about scales. It's about scales and patterns. What is it? Scales and patterns. So you have a scale. Each scale has a meaning to it. And then from that scale, you have different patterns, which will give a different meaning. So if you look at Surah Fatiha further on as we continue, for an example, if we say Na'budu, it means that we all are worshipping Allah. Here Allah did not say that when you begin your salah, you must say that I am praising Allah. Like in the other ayat, Iyaka Na'budu, it is Jama' Mutakallim. It's not that we pray, we do ibadat of Allah. But when you start Alhamdu, it's not a person saying that I am praising Allah, that I am saying all praises and all gratitude belongs to Allah. Allah did not use the word I am saying. It's your salah, but He did not start the Quran like that. Why? Because you haven't been there all the time. You haven't been around for all the time. When were you born? Insan kab paida hua? I was born 30 years ago. Someone was born 40 years ago, 50 years ago. So if you say, I am praising Allah, it means you might be saying that I am only praising Allah for how many years? 20 years, 15 years. And so it does not give that sense and that love and that karamat, that honor that belongs to Allah. You have not been around for that long, but Allah has been there all the time. So it is not for you to say that I am praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Boy, how long have you been in this dunya? So what, when you say Alhamdulillah, it means that the ultimate praise and the ultimate thanks or the ultimate gratitude belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, in all places and in all instances. That is the meaning of Alhamdulillah. Itni baat hazam hui? Understand that, my respected brothers? So when you say Allahu Akbar and when you say Alhamdu, do a bit of muraqabah, do a bit of meditation. Subhanallah, how beautiful is Allah? And understand how Allah wants to discipline the mind of a believer. That at any time, he is not to follow the shaitan. He is not to follow the shaitan. Not to follow the shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. And then when you say Alhamdulillah, then thereafter you say Rabbul Alameen. What is it? That he is the Rabb, as in Rabbul Alameen. So what is the meaning of Rabb? If you remember, brothers, in the last session we gave how many meanings of Rabb? Five. I didn't hear that. Five. How many?
Five.
In the Arabic language, for one word, Rabb means, in the last session I said five, because otherwise it would be too much. Otherwise it would be too much. One word, Rabb, has got five meanings in the last session. It means that Rabb means that Allah is your creator, your sustainer, your maintainer, your protector, and the one who guides you. All of these five definitions give the meaning of one word in Arabic, which is Rabb. So Allah is your creator, maintainer, sustainer, your protector and your guide. Today, I just want to add one more. Today, we need to add, really, this is the, subhanallah, the tafsir is that, slowly, so you understand. In classical Arabic, with the five meanings, there is another sixth meaning to it. Generally, in the English translation, Rabb is translated as the lords of the world, of the worlds, Lord. Rabb means lords. We don't actually use Lord nowadays too much, do we? Lords, do we? No. But it's translated as lords. Now, Rabb in classical Arabic means the one who owns a slave. The one who owns a slave. Rabb means the one who owns a slave. So basically, when we say Rabb, with all the five meanings, it also means that Allah is saying, I am your master and you are my slave. Understand that. I am your master and you are my slave. That is the meaning of Rabb in the classical Arabic language. So people who had slaves in those days, they would say that this man is the Rabb, as in Rabb, the one who is the owner, the one who is the master of those slaves. So when you say Rabb, understand that I am the slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if you can understand that, it actually means that what Allah wants from us is that we remain the slaves to Allah at all times. This is what Allah wants, that we remain His slaves all the time. Now, what is the difference between someone who is worshipping and someone who is a slave? Someone who is worshipping and someone who is a slave. Just to give you examples, few more minutes, slowly, my respected brothers, but very important for us to understand. What's the difference between worshipping and someone who is a slave? Worshipping, everybody does. You'll find Christians worshipping, Jews worshipping, Hindu community worshipping, Muslims worshipping. What you see in worshipping is that worshipping is with specified times. What is it? Specified times. A man, a Muslim, will worship Allah during Fajr time, specific time. Then he will worship Allah at Zuhur time, specific time. Then he will worship Allah at Asr time, Maghrib time, Isha time. He will worship Allah Jumu'ah. He will worship Allah in the month of Ramadan. He will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the days of Hajj, during the days of Hajj. So worshipping is controlled and dictated by time. As for someone who is a slave, he is not controlled and dictated by time. He is a slave at Fajr time, at Zohar time, at Asr time, at Maghrib time, at Isha time, 1 week ago, or thereafter 2 weeks. He is a slave, and him being a slave is not related to time. He is a slave at all times. So why did Allah say, I am your Rabb, I am your master, and you are my slave? Because what Allah wants from us, Allah does not want from us hypocrisy, that in the month of Ramadan, we become good slaves of Allah, and when the day of Eid comes, we become free individuals. You understand that, my respected brothers and sisters? So when you say Rabb, it's actually telling you that you are his slave all the time. All the time. Don't just be a slave when you come to the masjid, that I am the slave of Allah, and when I go out of the masjid, I am free to do whatever I want to do. No. You are a slave outside. You are a slave in a masjid. You are a slave of Allah in your house. You are a slave in Masjidul Haram. You are a slave in Masjid Nabwi. You are a slave in your office. You are a slave when you're playing sports. You are a slave whatever you are doing. Remember that your master is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, so that person becomes close to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, after understanding this, my respected brothers, one more thing. What is the difference between service and slave? Service and slave. The servant will provide service to his company. What will he do? The servant will provide service to his company for a limited period of time, for specific hours. So for an example, if someone is an accountant, he will provide the service of accountancy, whether he is working for someone, for that company, he will provide the service of accountancy for 5 hours or 6 hours. Nobody will tell him, okay, you're an accountant, qualified accountant, huh? Right, go and clean the windows. Do you tell him to go and clean the windows? What will he say, a professional accountant, what will he say? This is not part of my job description. This is not part of my... I'm not qualified to clean windows. I'm not a window cleaner. Not a window cleaner, right? Worked hard, I'm not a window cleaner, you know. So he provides a service for a specific time period, few hours, 5, 6, 7 hours, and he has a job description. But when someone is a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a slave does not have a job description. A slave does not have a job. He is to do whatever his master tells him to do. That is the difference. So understand, when Allah is saying Rabbul Alameen, it means that whatever I, Allah, tell you to do at any time, whenever the dictates of the Quran and Hadith come upon you, when Allah tells you something, at any time, you are my slave, you have no time restriction, and there is no specific job description for you, you can't say, oh, I'm not going to pray Fajr Salah. Sorry. I'm not going to pray Fajr Salah. I'm not going to give zakat. Why? I can't give zakat. No, why? No, I'm not going to give zakat. You have no choice. You have? So Allah is saying to you in the first line of Surah Fatiha that I am your Rabb, master, and you are my slave. You are my slave. Understand that, my respected brothers. Now some of you might be saying that, of course, in the English terminology, it's got a very ugly connotation. It's got a very ugly connotation. You know, a master and a slave, that relationship is not healthy. That relationship is not master and a slave. So why would you want to give an example of someone who is a master and someone who is a slave? Why? Why does Allah say of Rabbul Alameen that I am the master, you are my slave? Generally in the world, which slave will want to praise his master? Which slave? You don't find slaves praising their masters. You don't do that. You don't want to, a slave will not praise his master. He won't make dua for his master. He won't praise him at all. It's got a very ugly connotation in a way. Why, my respected brothers and elders, what we need to understand is that before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself as a master, as a Rabb, and that you are my slave, Allah introduced himself in the beginning with the word Hamd. What did he introduce himself? Hamd. That this relationship between the Creator and his creation, this relationship is so unique that despite the fact that there is this ugly connotation, but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the servant understands his master, he will have no choice but to only praise his master. He will only want to praise his master. So that is why Allah begins with the word Alhamdu. Alhamdu. So now generally a master is not associated with mercy. He's not associated with mercy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that I am your Rabb, master, and you are my slave. And in your language and in your living, the relationship between master means oppression, means zulm. But Allah is telling us, let me tell you, that I am your master and you are my slave. But let me tell you who I am. I am Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Subhanallah. What is he saying? I am Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That I am Rabb, I am your master, you are my slave. But I am not that master that will oppress you, or will inflict pain upon you, or will do zulm upon you. Why? I am that master who is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. I think it will be too much if I talk about Rahman and Rahim. So we take a break here. But respected brothers, imagine if we look into the annals of Islamic history, you will find generally that Muslims have been the best masters to their slaves. In fact, we have had a slave dynasty in the Islamic Empire that were given so much, subhanAllah, of power and authority that they became lords of their times. Just to give you one example, Does anyone, I'm sure everybody knows here, there is only one name that is mentioned in the Quran of a Sahabi by name. Come on. Ji? Zahid? Zaid, mashallah. Jazakallah. Subhanallah. What companions? There is only one Sahabi in 114 chapters of the Quran that is mentioned by name. And his name is Hazrat Zaid. At a very young age, Hazrat Zaid was out with his mother, 8 years of age, and another tribe had captured Hazrat Zaid and had taken this young boy as a slave to sell him off. So he was only 8 years of age, taken away and sold as a slave. And they were from the Harisa tribe, Zaid bin Harisa. And so when he was sold in the souk, in the market, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha had a cousin whose name was Hakim. Sorry, not a cousin, a nephew. And so Hakim bought Zaid as a slave. And he was 8 years of age. And so he came to show Hazrat Khadija. And the nephew gave Zaid to Hazrat Khadija Tul Kubra. Or she bought Hazrat Zaid from Hakim. So now Hazrat Zaid came into the possession of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Eventually, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Bibi Khadijatul Kubra. When he married Bibi Khadijatul Kubra, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very fond of this young boy, 8 years of age, whose name was Zaid bin Harisa. Allah's Nabi loved him. Bibi Khadija gave Hazrat Zaid as a gift to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi is fond of this man, young boy. This is a gift to you. When Bibi Khadija gifted Hazrat Zaid to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emancipated him, gave him the freedom. But you are free. And he started living with who? Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now what happened, my respected brothers, that the mother and father of the Harisa tribe were crying for their young child, Zaid, and were looking for him in the whole of the Arabian Peninsula. When they came to the city of Makkah and met with certain tribes of the Banu Kalb, the Banu Kalb said that, oh, you are looking for this young child and you are from the Harisa tribe. Possibly this man, Zaid, is with a man whose name is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad bin Abdullah, and he is the slave of Muhammad bin Abdullah. So the people of Harisa gave this news back to the father of Hazrat Zaid when they went back to their tribe. So the father came with his brother, as in the uncle of Hazrat Zaid, and said, Khush khabri, we found Zaid. Imagine to find your son, subhanAllah, and who is a captive, a slave, who's been enslaved. And they came and they came to Makkah Mukarramah, and finally, subhanAllah, they said that we want to have a meeting with Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out, and there were two people standing there, the father and the uncle. Hazrat Zaid was not there. And they said to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will pay you anything that you want as ransom or money for the freedom of our child. Whatever you want, we will give you. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greeted them and said that, who is your son? And they said that, a child whose name is Zaid, Zaid bin Haritha, and I am Haritha. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are the father of Zaid bin Haritha? And he said, yes. He says, okay, wait. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will give you your son Zaid bin Haritha free without any ransom because he is your son. You can have him. But with one condition. With one condition. I want you as a father to ask your son if he wants to come with you. Allahu Akbar. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned back and said, Zaid, come here. This young child came. Zaid saw the father. And Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Zaid, do you know who this man is? And he says, Ya Rasulullah, this is my father and this is my uncle. And the father started kissing Zaid and hugging him and saying, oh my son, subhanallah, I'm so happy to see you, I am so happy to see you. And the son Zaid was cold, was just standing there cold. Allahu Akbar. Imagine the biological father is there, but compare that to a great master, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who of course in the beginning, this young boy was a slave. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Zaid, that Zaid, your father wants you to go back with him. Do you want to return back with your father? Or if you wish to stay here with me, that is also fine. He looked at the father and he said to his father, oh my dear father, you are my father, but I cannot leave my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I cannot leave the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad bin Abdullah. The father was so angry, he said, Zaid, are you mad? You want to remain as a slave when we are here to give you the freedom and for you to become a free man and you choose to be a slave? Hazrat Zaid said that I am choosing to be the slave of the greatest man whose name is Muhammad bin Abdullah. Oh my dear father, I want you to return back and let me be the servant and the slave of this great man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine that. And the father went back. And Hazrat Zaid stayed in the company of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi was so happy with Zaid that thereafter he said to the Arabs around him that Zaid is my son, Zaid bin ibn Muhammad. Zaid ibn Muhammad. Allahu Akbar. And so this is the legacy of the Muslims, my respected brothers and elders. Generally, even Muslim masters were the best masters and people who were associated with mercy as compared to other individuals in history that we see. But this relationship that we have with Allah is a very unique relationship. That is why Allah starts with Alhamd and with Rahman and Rahim. And so between Alhamd and Rahman and Rahim is the word Rabb, that Allah is saying that your safety is only in being my slave. If you come out and if you free yourself from my slavery, you are nothing but a loser. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-'afwa wal-'afiyata fid dunya wal akhirah. Ya Allah, ya Rahman, ya Rahim, ya Allah, hamari is majlis ko qabool farma. Ya Allah, hame tawfiq de, ya Allah, ke hum hamesha hamesha ke liye gulam ban kar rahe. Ya Allah, hamesha hamesha ke liye gulam ban kar rahe. Ya Allah, tu hi hamara aqa hai. Ya Allah, tu hi hamara khalik hai, malik hai. Ya Allah, hum tere gulam hai. Ya Allah, hamara khatima bil khair farma. Allah, hamara khatima bil khair farma. Allah, hamari jawan nasal ki hifazat farma. Unke iman ki hifazat farma. Ya Allah, musalmanon ki hifazat farma. Jahan kahin परेशानी है या अल्लाह, उस परेशानी को दूर फरमा, जो बीमार है उनको शिफा दे, जो दुनिया से चले गए या अल्लाह उनकी कब्रों को मुनव्वर फरमा। समिअना व अताअना गुफरानक रब्बना व इलैकल मसीर बिरहमतिक या अरहमर राहिमीन।